A bill making its way through Wisconsin's legislature lets pharmacists prescribe birth control pills and patches, not just dispense them, but prescribe them. We're talking about why some lawmakers support the move, who could benefit from the change, and the drawbacks that some critics see. It's The Morning Show. I'm Keeley Boltina in for Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to the State Capitol Report, and you can join this conversation. Do you think pharmacists should be allowed to prescribe hormonal birth control to people 18 and over? If it becomes law, would you take advantage of that option? 800-642-1234 is the number to call, or you can email ideas at WPR.org. Joel Kitchens is a Republican state representative in Wisconsin's 1st Assembly District. That includes Door and Kewaunee counties, plus areas of Brown and Manitowoc counties. Kitchens is from Sturgeon Bay. Representative, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. Let's start with a broad question. Why do you think it's important for people to have access to birth control at pharmacies, not just at a doctor's office?
Well, I think it's just so much easier for women to access birth control through pharmacists. We have a number of counties that don't have an OBGYN, and the studies show that it's like 93% of women in Wisconsin have a pharmacy within 5 miles. Hormonal birth control is extremely effective when it's used properly and consistently. And one of the biggest reasons for failure is that, you know, women, they run out of prescription and they can't get in to see their doctor, or they go away for the weekend and forget their pills. So I think anything that we can do to cut down on unplanned pregnancy is really important.
Well, and you've described this bill as being pro-life. I mean, we often see anti-abortion policies not really going in hand in hand with easier access to contraception. Help us understand, you know, how you see this playing a part as a pro-life measure.
Well, we know that 43% of unplanned pregnancies end in abortion. So, you know, clearly it will reduce the number of abortions. And I think if you look at the states that have done it, Oregon has done it for the longest period of time. So that's the only state that we really have figures back on. But it has cut down on abortions there. So, you know, I certainly view it as a pro-life measure. Yeah, I understand that there are certainly people that don't agree with this approach to it. But from a practical standpoint, it makes all the sense in the world.
What are your colleagues saying? Do they agree with you?
On the Republican side, most of them do. You know, it passed through the Assembly. There were some that voted against it. But overwhelmingly, I think they do support it. The leadership within the Republican Party on the Assembly side, they all signed on as co-sponsors. So I think it's got good support. And the Democrats almost all voted for it when it was on the Assembly floor.
Let's circle back to the idea about safety, because I do think that enters people's mind anytime we're dealing with medication, even over-the-counter medication. Hormonal birth control generally considered safe, but research is finding that it can have some adverse side effects. Are there risks in taking doctors out of the equation, and how are you trying to account for those?
Well, the way the bill would work is that a pharmacist would give out a questionnaire, a screening, as well as taking the woman's blood pressure. And if there are any red flags raised by that, then they would be referred to their doctor. I could go on and on about why I think that it's safe, but I guess I'll let the medical community speak for itself, because virtually every major medical association, including American Medical Association, the Wisconsin Medical Society, American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists, the American Academy of Family Physicians, they all believe that it's safe enough to be over the counter without any screening whatsoever. So I think the safety, I mean, every drug has some bad side effects. I mean, aspirin can cause bleeding, but especially doing the screening, I think it's perfectly safe. There are over 100 countries already where it's over the counter with no prescription at all.
Yeah, to get a prescription under this proposal, women fill out a medical questionnaire and also have a blood pressure screening. Take us through the circumstances in which it would be acceptable for a pharmacist to prescribe birth control pills or the patch.
Well, first off, I think the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists would work together with the Pharmacy Society in coming up with a questionnaire as far as what they think the pertinent questions would be. You know, blood clots are probably the major risk in hormonal birth control, but that can be screened for. And the new formulations of birth control you know, have far lower hormonal levels than they had in the past. So there really is not much of a risk if people are aware of that. So yeah, they would go into the pharmacy, fill out that questionnaire, get the blood pressure screening, and if there were no red flags, again, they would, you know, be able to buy the pills at that point. You know, the OBGYNs tell me that that's virtually what they do already. You know, they don't do a big workup on women when they prescribe birth control.
Joel Kitchens is a Republican state representative, and we're talking about legislation that would allow Wisconsin pharmacists to prescribe birth control pills to patients. And you're part of this conversation. 800-642-1234 is the number to call. We're wondering, you know, do you think it's safe for pharmacists to prescribe hormonal birth control, or should that prescription come from a doctor? If the proposal becomes law, would you take advantage of it? Go to a pharmacist instead of a general practitioner or a gynecologist? Or maybe, you know, if you've overlooked something, as Representative Kitchens has said, and you're out of town, would this be a good option for you? Or maybe you're a pharmacist. What are your thoughts on this proposal? Do you feel comfortable prescribing hormonal birth control? 800-642-1234 is the number to call and voice your opinion. You can also email us at ideas@WPR or tweet us at WPR Mornings. Representative Kitchens, we do wonder, some anti-abortion groups have said that this proposal might encourage premarital sex. It could increase the chance of abortion. How do you respond to that sort of concern?
Well, I think if you look at the numbers and, you know, and the data on that, that argument just doesn't hold water. You know, we have our abortion rate in the United States has declined pretty substantially over the last 10 years or so. And the Center for Disease Control says that is almost entirely due to increased access to birth control, because the rate of abortion, that 43%, that stayed the same through all that period of time. So really, it's access to birth control that has reduced the abortions in this country.
So you're saying that the numbers back up the idea that access to birth control can actually help prevent unplanned pregnancies, not encourage people to act irresponsibly.
Right. I think that's a... I just don't think that's a realistic argument that women are going to go crazy, you know, if they have access to birth control. There's no data to back that up. And going back to what we talked about before, too, we don't want to take doctors out of the equation as far as women's health is concerned. You know, I think every woman should have a relationship with her doctor and you know, have the testing done that's necessary. But we're dealing with the real world here where, you know, there's so many women that just don't have that relationship and don't have access that, you know, that's the reason this is so important.
Yeah. And you've talked about the fact that increasing access to contraception is something that can help with the pro-life movement. Do you see pro-life politicians thinking shifting toward this, or is this something that seems to be happening just here in Wisconsin?
No, there are about, I think there are 13 states now where this has been adopted. And again, within my caucus in the assembly, I think probably everyone is pro-life, but the majority of them think that this is a practical way to reduce abortions. You know, and even amongst the pro-life or the pro-life groups, it's only the most extreme groups that view contraception as, you know, abortion, basically.
Sure, because even if life begins at conception and people agree on that, if you prevent conception, then you're not destroying life. Is that the concept?
Yeah, it is. And mm-hmm. And honestly, there's also a misconception out there that people think that hormonal birth control blocks a healthy embryo from implanting, and the science does not back that up.
It prevents
fertilization.
Gotcha.
So even if you take that stance, it still doesn't hold up. You know, there's no scientific evidence whatsoever that modern birth control prevents implantation.
Thank you. We're talking with State Representative Joel Kitchens. He stays with us as we continue our conversation about the potential for pharmacists in Wisconsin to provide birth control. I'm Keely Boltina. The State Capitol Report continues right here on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show on the Ideas Network. I'm Keely Boltina. Here in Wisconsin, people who want birth control pills need to see a physician or an advanced practice nurse, like a nurse practitioner. Some lawmakers support adding pharmacists to the list of healthcare providers who are allowed to prescribe hormonal birth control to people who are at least 18 years old. We're talking about it here on the State Capitol Report. What do you think? What questions do you have about the plan? 800-642-1234. In general, do you think pharmacists should have more freedom to prescribe, or does the system work well the way it is? Again, that number is 800-642-1234, or you can email ideas@wpr.org. State Representative Joel Kitchens is talking us through the legislation. It has passed the State Assembly and is headed for the State Senate. Let's go ahead and bring Kate into the conversation. Kate is a nurse practitioner. Welcome to the morning show.
Thank you.
What did you want to say? What's your perspective in this conversation?
Yes, absolutely. Yes, I think pharmacists should be able to prescribe and have access, allow access for women for additional health care options. They're great providers that I truly believe are underutilized and so knowledgeable. My only concern is, one, making sure it's a great questionnaire, not only leading disorders within the patient, but also the women, but also in the family. And another one is migraine headaches with auras. Last, I think it's real important that we educate our public that it's not just a doctor's office, it's a health clinic. Planned Parenthood prescribes, of course, as well as other providers as nurse practitioners, nurse midwives, and physician assistants. So I think that having access, and there's one last thing I just forgot, making sure that on the questionnaire, their last pap smear, 3 or 5 years, and if there are concerns for STDs and their knowledge, we're actually using long-acting reversible options such as IUDs, but you know, that's a visit. So if they can get into a pharmacist, that would be great. And thank you for this legislation.
Kate, thank you so much for giving us a call at 800-642-1234. State Representative Joel Kitchens, Kate's a nurse practitioner, has some really tangible things that she thinks we should flag maybe, but thinks overall it's a good idea. Is this similar to what you're hearing?
Yeah, it is what I'm hearing. You know, the Pharmacy Society of Wisconsin, they're very supportive of this. It is optional. You know, if a pharmacist is not comfortable with it, they do not need to participate. But I think, you know, as a group, they're very supportive of it. And I think she's right that and that's why we're going to have the professionals write this questionnaire for them to capture all of those possible, you know, risk areas. And as she said, with the pap smear and all that, we do not want this to mean that women shouldn't see a doctor for all of their other needs. But this, I think, does provide them a very good option.
Yeah, I do wonder, though, you said that a pharmacist, if they're not comfortable participating in this program, would not need to. Would that make access, would there be disparities in access then if certain pharmacists would be willing to participate and others would not? How do we account for that?
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly possible. I think at first, when we've looked at what other states have done, at first people are a little bit timid entering into the whole thing, and for women, too, to get used to the idea that they can go to a pharmacist instead of having to go to a doctor. So I think there will be a little, you know, it'll take a little bit of time for everyone to get comfortable with it. But I believe that the vast majority of pharmacists, once they get used to the idea, will embrace it.
Let's bring Steve from Sun Prairie into the conversation now. Steve, thanks for joining us.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. Yeah, I'm probably more pro-life than I'm not. I'm not 100% pro-abortion, but I'm not 100% pro-life. And I just don't know of any pro-life group that is against this bill, considering that it seems like most Republicans are supporting it. I want to know which groups, other than religious groups, which they have a religious, you know, reason to do it, what legitimate groups are against this bill? I mean, most pro-life, they're not anti-abortion, pro-life people don't want to see pregnancies that aren't wanted.
Yeah, Steve, thanks for that. I do know, Representative Kitchens, that the anti-abortion group Wisconsin Family Action had voiced concerns for the proposal because of those religious and conscience rights of pharmacists. Was the bill amended or has that been resolved?
No, I don't think there was any need for that. Again, we've always had it in there that it's voluntary. As far as the groups that are opposed to it, yeah, Family Action is opposed, Pro-Life Wisconsin is opposed to it, and then the Catholic Physicians Guild. So those are kind of the only groups that we heard from. And, I respect people that have a moral objection to birth control. I just don't think it's our job as legislators to be trying to impose our morality on others.
Yeah. you know, sex ed isn't required by law in Wisconsin. State law does require that if schools offer those programs, they should emphasize abstinence, among other things. And some research has found that focusing on abstinence can be correlated with higher teen pregnancy rates. Do you think comprehensive sex ed should be the norm in Wisconsin, you know, as kind of a partner to what we're talking about here with greater access to birth control?
Well, you know, I think educating young women is important. I don't want to get into whether we should be mandating that within schools, but I think education certainly is important. But the abstinence only model clearly does not work. It's, you know, half of the pregnancies in Wisconsin are unplanned. So I think we just have to accept reality that model is not going to prevent these things. And when you look at the dire consequences of these unplanned pregnancies, it makes no sense.
Joel Kitchens is a Republican state representative, and you can join this conversation. We have a few moments left. 800-642-1234. Do you think pharmacists should be allowed to prescribe hormonal birth control to people ages 18 and older? You can share your thoughts. You can also email us at ideas@WPR.org. Representative Kitchens, in the past, Democrats have proposed a bill that's similar to yours. The Democratic version, though, didn't have that age restriction on who could get a prescription. Why is it age 18? Why did you make that call?
Yeah, I think there's just a lot of people that are uncomfortable with the idea of taking parents out of the decision. So, you know, from a practical standpoint, politically, had we not had that age restriction, there would have been no chance that it would have passed. So, you know, so that's where we are with it.
So if this were to move forward and then it's 18, and it were possible to prescribe to women who are 18 or older, if it was a political decision in the future, could you see yourself supporting something that would expand it below 18 years old for the good of teen pregnancy concerns or something like that?
You know, I think that I could personally. I don't speak for my caucus on that. I think there are an awful lot of people, though, that would not be comfortable with that. And I think it's probably, you know, a good idea. We can start with this. And, you know, if down the line, you know, it needs to be changed, that's fine. I mean, there are also other forms of birth control, like injections, that, you know, when Oregon did theirs, it was like ours. And then later they added that in. So, you know, this is a step, and we will see how it goes. You know, hopefully we can get the Senate to take it up on the floor and get it passed.
Sure. It's about, you know, collaboration and working together. Let's bring in Susie from Sauk County here. Susie, what do you want to say in this conversation?
I would like to know why the responsibility and even the right of a woman is secondary to a man's responsibility and such. Because why? Why can't they wear condoms? You know, whether they're rapist or not, or, you know, or whatever, or taking advantage. Why is it they can't, you know, why aren't condoms accessible to guys and it being pushed so that they are used to them and things like that? That is par for the course.
Okay, Susie, thanks for that. And Joel Kitchens, maybe this puts hormonal birth control more on a similar level to something like male contraception, like condoms, because it eliminates an additional step of having to go to a doctor or a nurse practitioner and make the time and find your way there. If you're able to get a prescription from a pharmacist, is that something that we might be able to think about?
Yeah, I mean, obviously it should be. It should depend on the man and the woman, as she said. But, you know, condoms are available. You know, if they're in the grocery store, even you can mm-hmm. purchase those. So they are readily available. But the female contraception is not nearly so available. So, you know, and unfortunately, the unfortunate reality, I guess, is that more often than not, the woman is the one that bears the brunt of an unplanned pregnancy. So I do think that it's very important that, you know, female contraception is as available as male contraception.
Representative, I just wonder, now this has passed the Assembly. You are a member of the Assembly. Now it goes to the Senate. What do you think the chances are that this proposal will pass with your Senate colleagues and then become law?
Yeah, the tough part is going to be to get it scheduled on the floor. I mean, it's been through the Senate hearing, and I'm very confident that we have the votes to get it passed out of the committee. The challenge will be to get it on the Senate floor. If it makes it to the floor, I'm sure that it will pass very easily, too. But unfortunately, with our caucus system, sometimes, you know, a small minority is able to block things. So, you know, that will be the challenge. And for anyone out there listening, if they want to contact their senators and urge them to get this, you know, scheduled for a floor session, that would be great.
Representative, we really appreciate your time breaking this down for us today. Thanks for joining us.
Well, thank you. It's a pleasure.
Joel Kitchens is a Republican state representative from Wisconsin's 1st Assembly District. That includes Door and Kewaunee counties, plus areas of Brown and Manitowoc counties. Kitchens is from Sturgeon Bay. Up next, it is news. Then the State Capitol Report continues with the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation's secretary appointee. She'll tell us about her priorities for business and labor in Wisconsin. And we also want to take a moment to thank everyone who contributed during our year-end member drive. More than 1,100 of you joined in to support the programs that you rely on. Independent journalism, handpicked music, and great conversation are possible thanks to member support. If you missed the drive, it's not too late to join in with your year-end gift today at WPR.org. I'm Keely Boltina. The State Capitol Report continues here on The Morning Show. You're listening to the Ideas Network.